Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we finish our study of Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 with the message titled Annihilation versus Eternal Torment. This is part 2 of 2.
So they put in the word hell for Hades in the King James, but they change it back to Hades in the New King James. And here's the thing. Didn't they say they were selling that New King James because they wanted to make it more understandable? Mm-hmm. Go out on Main Street and take a little microphone like Jay Leno and say, do you know what the word hell means? Yeah, I do. Well, do you know what Hades is? Isn't that that little island that was wiped out by a hurricane? No, that would be Haiti. See what I'm saying though? They claim that they put out these new versions to make them more understandable. You changed the word hell to Hades. You didn't do that. You just made enough changes so you could claim a copyright and make money. Because that's what the new versions are all about. The ecumenical movement, bringing everybody together, and money. Love of money. They also play on your emotions. Doesn't it bother you, the idea that all these people are burning in a lake of fire forever? The answer is yes, that bothers me. Does it bother you? I mean, I think it's pretty normal to say, but what's that got to do with anything? I'm a wicked sinner who's just thankful to be saved. I'll be glorified, and God is going to give us understanding, and we're going to be able to live with it. That's enough for me. But some people have told me, said that really still bothers me. Well, let it bother you, but make sure you go to the right place. And it won't bother you anymore for eternity. If you reject Jesus Christ, it'll bother you forever. Amen? But that's what they do. How could you believe in a God who would do that? Well, I don't get to pick and choose. God is God. And so, you know, how could you reject God because you find something He says is true hard to believe? Think about how ridiculous that is. There's one God, and He says thus. And you're like, well, I don't like that. Get over it. It's the way it is. But you go around, you talk to people, go your family, friends, door to door, whatever, you're going to find a lot of people who reject God because they don't like something that He says is true. How insane is that? And then they'll spiral into Johnny's favorite discussions. Philosophical. The favorite one is the immortality of the soul. And they'll get into this big, long philosophical discussion on whether or not the soul is immortal and eternal, and whether it can cease to exist, cessation of the soul, and all that stuff. And it's never scriptural. It's always way out here, and they love to talk about what Plato thought when he wasn't having sex with a little boy, and what Socrates thought when he wasn't having sex with a little boy, and all these philosophers. The Bible says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest... I want to get the words right. I just quoted it yesterday. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, through the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of this world, right?
Right, and then not after Christ.
So, the Bible doesn't have a lot of good to say about philosophy. And that's where most of your false teachers and preachers today, that's where they got messed up. Usually in college, but even some of them in high school. But in college, they get into philosophy. And philosophy and vain deceit messes them up.
And a lot of psychology, too.
Psychology is basically a philosophy gone mad. And yes, that's where they mess them up. I think Johnny's class was something to do with both, wasn't it? Psychology?
It's better now. Now they're just talking about...
But what was it then, though? It was... psychology and philosophy, both, wasn't it?
It was just, you know, different ways they thought for right and wrong.
With no authority. It was all up to everybody's opinion, yeah.
Then he's the one who looked into psychology.
Okay. But every description of the occupants of the lake of fire is the same as that found in Revelation 14, which we already studied. Take a minute and turn there. Revelation chapter 14. Every time we see descriptions of the occupants of the lake of fire, it's virtually the same as what we read about and we studied Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 9. And that is of everlasting torment. Verse 9 begins by saying, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand," that's all the people in the tribulation coming, Daniel's 70th week, who take the mark of the beast, "the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God," that's while they're still in the tribulation, "which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation." Verse 10 then ends saying, "And he shall be what? With fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." And verse 11 says, what? Read that. "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night." I'll stop there because I don't want to get into other questions on this. I want to focus on our study, and that is the description. "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." How do you get around that? You just are telling me you don't believe the Bible when you try to get around that. And by the way, almost every one of these people that you talk to who take this position, it's either because they know somebody that they know is going to the lake of fire and they want to talk themselves out of believing that it is what it is, or they refuse to repent of their own sin and they don't want to believe that they will go to a place like that. If you talk to them, like most of the people today, are either LGBTQ or LGBTQ friendly. Romans 1. And they want to explain away the consequences of their rebellion against God. That's what's behind it. You'll find these preachers who are preaching it, the McLaren and Rob Bell and Tony Jones, Tony Campolo, you go on all these guys who over the last 20 or 30 years have been pushing this emergent apostasy away from fundamental Christianity, and they all are jumping on the annihilation bandwagon, and they're also all jumping on the gay marriage, gay rights, and most of them are now all-out universalists, denying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. What their twist on it, they call it Christian universalism, and they'll say that they believe everybody ends up saved because Jesus paid for all of our sins, therefore we're all going to eventually end up in heaven. And to be consistent, they have to include Lucifer in that. That's how far it goes. That's where this stuff ends. But the annihilation response is, the smoke goes up forever. That doesn't mean the torment lasts forever. So, where do annihilationists go wrong? I just mentioned that I believe they start with the wrong motive. But beyond that personal motive, nearly all annihilationists I've read or talked with believe they are defending God's character. See, what they do is they set up a false god, and then they defend that false god. Their god is a god of love with a period at the end. And so they have an imbalanced God. Their God is not. He's just love. Their God has no balance. Their God really doesn't even love. Their definition of love isn't even true. Their definition of God isn't true, but neither is their definition of love. Now, just as an example, this is what it looks like whenever we try to help God out. And that's what they act like. They're going to help God out. God's character is under attack. We have to help God out. This is what it looks like. Mom's going to be so happy when she sees the gas tank full. So they got the garden hose in there. And they think they're being a good help. That's what it's like when men try to help God out. And you'll see it over and over where men will twist and turn the Bible to fix it. Because they just don't think God did it right. This is a true statement. But it's not all that there is to say about God.
He's merciful and just too.
Right there.
Yeah.
Merciful is true as well. He is also holy,
absolutely,
righteous, and just.
Absolutely.
But the truth is, if you don't define love with these terms in the definition, you have a false definition of love itself. God is love, but He is holy. It's real simple. God is holy, and nothing unholy can enter into His presence. There's coming a day where His glory is going to fill all that is. Right now, His glory doesn't fill everything. We see glimpses of His glory, not His full glory. That's why you and I exist today. There's a place where we can exist because His glory has not filled the earth the way it will one day. But when that day comes, only what is holy can exist in that world to come. Therefore, anything that isn't holy only has one place to go. And that's to the fires of wrath in the lake of fire. That's all. That's how simple it is. So you've got one thing to do in this life. You've got one thing to do. And the majority of human beings spend their entire lives doing everything except that. You've got to be holy. And you can't do it by your works. So you've got to do one thing and you can't do it. But then you find out when the gospel is preached to you that God has done it. God Himself came to earth as a man. A holy man. Without sin. And He walked among men, grew up from the time He was a little baby up to about 30 years old. And then He began a ministry. And He was despised and rejected of men. His own received Him not. And they crucified Him on a cross. He shed perfect divine blood. The blood of God. He shed and paid for all the sins of the world. He paid for all the sins that you have ever committed and ever will commit. And that then was the end, right? No. They took His dead body and put it in a tomb so that He could demonstrate His deity. He could demonstrate His power over sin and His power over death. And on the third day, with no help from anyone, He rose from the dead. That's how God took care of it. Now you've got one thing to do in your life, and that's to be holy. And God says, you must receive the payment I've provided in My Son. His blood will wash you clean and make you holy. You can either do that or you can choose a lake of fire. That's it. It is so simple. And we don't change God to fit our opinion. God tells us what is right and wrong in His Word. I love how Isaiah put it. In Isaiah 55:8 says, "For My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways, saith the Lord." How insane that fallible, fallen, sinful, wicked men think they know better than God. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts." Just wonderful. Real quick, annihilationists also have the wrong method. Nearly all annihilationists reject the infallibility of the King James Bible. It's all downhill from that point. Because you have no authority. We talked about that before. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's got to be Scripture. But if it is Scripture, it's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. When you try to get the truth by any other means, your method is wrong and it's all downhill from there. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And annihilationism also is illogical. It's just illogical. Annihilationists teach that the lost suffer until they pay for their sins in a lake of fire. It's the same type of thing as purgatory. You're right. And actually, the Catholic Church holds to a form of universalism. And they really do believe that at some point, everybody's going to have suffered in fire and paid for their sins enough that they'll go to heaven. It's not possible. This Edward Fudge was being interviewed, and he was asked, well, how long does a person have to suffer? And he says, we don't know. I have no idea. It could be billions of years. Yeah. Isn't that funny? Once you go away from the authority of the Word of God, you always usually end up somewhere in the same muck and mire with all the other religions. And that's what's happening. Sin can only be paid for with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Christ died for our sins because sinful man cannot pay for his own sins. Even though it sounds horrible to be burning in a lake of fire for billions of years, the fact remains that if that's possible, then Jesus wasted his time dying on the cross. Annihilationism is blasphemous. People treat it like it's just another alternative view of hell. It is blasphemous. And I'm here to tell you, some of you probably don't even know that you've got friends and family or professing Christians who have bought into this. I found out recently. And only perfect divine blood will do. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the flames of the lake of fire. No. That is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That means He's the full payment, nothing added, nothing taken away. Propitiation through faith in His blood. Not just His death, John MacArthur. His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. If you pay, you pay forever. You pay in a lake of fire, it's forever. That's what Peter says. 2 Peter 2:17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. It's just the mist of darkness. No. Jude 1:13 says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness. How long?
Forever.
One more. Revelation 20:10. This is about Satan. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It is what it is. Annihilationism is simply unreasonable. Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In our next study, we're going to look at how long is the 7-year tribulation? You come next week, you're going to find out that's got to be answered. These days, the false doctrine and the stupidity and the silliness is endless.
They get that Norman Vincent Peale approach in there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to Q&A.
So Stephen Miller had a question. Shouldn't people bothered by hell be preaching Christ and not changing the Bible?
Yes. But that is a great question. If you're so bothered by hell, shouldn't you be out trying to rescue the perishing rather than trying to change the Bible? That's Stephen's comment. I say amen. And there was something else I was going to say along those lines, but I'll come back to it. Johnny.
So there's something interesting. I just noticed in that verse you just had there. Now, an interesting
that one
about time, because when it talks about Satan being put into hell or the lake of fire, notice it says day and night, forever and ever. So that's just an interesting thing.
Which philosophers love to wax eloquent on. And if you ever want an example, get Confessions of St. Augustine and the last third of the book. If you can read that without screaming, hats off. It's just crazy. But anyway. Yes, Charlie?
I was just thinking that it's the same, like, Satan wants, like, his pride, he lifts himself up in pride.
Isaiah 14.
Trying to take, like, usurp God's position.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing with, like, Morgan Freeman.
Oh.
You know, he said that, like, he says, well, I'm God.
You know who Morgan Freeman is? Everyone is the black actor. What's he in? What's some things he's in? Just so people know he's talking.
Batman.
Glory, yeah.
Shawshank Redemption.
Doesn't he do a commercial?
Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, yeah. Driving Miss Daisy. Okay, Charlie, I know who he is now. But Morgan Freeman is who he's talking about here. Go ahead.
It's amazing because that's the same. Like, it's just easy to point at those things and saying that's, like, the ultimate, like, embodiment of pride is saying that you have more authority than God.
Yeah.
That's what we all do. Like, when we won't acknowledge our sin.
Yeah.
When we read the Bible, you know, and you see something, like, we need to examine ourselves, because, like, you can hide your own sin and your own, like, in your pride. You can look at, like, you can read the scripture. You can commit the same sins that all these people who actually physically change the words do. But if you don't submit to the Word of God as the authority, like, you're hiding your sin from yourself.
Yeah. And you know, in this day and age we're living in right now, one of the greatest there's different areas of apostasy, and one of the greatest areas of apostasy is this denial that you must repent. And they are teaching, and I predicted this years ago, and I know I wasn't the only one, but I tried to warn people where this was going to head. If you preach a gospel without repentance, and all you do is you say, all a person does is admit they're a sinner, and then turn believing that Jesus paid for your sins, then you're saved. The problem with that is that the Bible never says admit you're a sinner. Never says that. It says that you are to repent. And when you repent, that means that you have a change of heart. It doesn't mean you're sinless or you never sin again. It's a matter of the heart. And the Bible says that's a gift from God, so it's not of works. People say, well, you're teaching work salvation. No, the Bible says it's not a work. And so what I said was going to happen is happening. I'm not a prophet. I just use reasoning. And that was that if you preach that, then it's going to lead to Christianity being filled with people who say, I'm a Christian and I'm proudly gay. And that's happening now in huge numbers of gay Christians. And they've got as their allies a lot of fake fundamentalists who are running around telling everybody that you don't preach repentance and that repentance is a work, which is a lie of the devil. And there are people on the internet, a fellow named David Fleming, for example. And he's Fleming all over the world with his phlegm coming out of his mouth with this false gospel without repentance. There's this Stephen Anderson. And most of these guys show their true colors by their other doctrines. And Stephen Anderson denies the rapture and hates Jews. He denies the Holocaust. And he's out teaching people that Israel is fake over in Israel now and that we shouldn't even support them. Why? Because Stephen Anderson is possessed by a devil. And preachers who are possessed by devils preach against repentance. And we have a lot of devil-possessed preachers in America today who are preaching against repentance. None of the great preachers of the past preached against repentance. They preached repentance. Starting with Jesus, all the way down to the recent... You even hear some of these guys will quote guys who themselves preached repentance. But they're liars. So they'll cherry pick something from this preacher and that preacher. We're in sad shape, folks, here in the United States of America. The church in the United States of America is filled with pulpits are filled with preachers who don't believe any book on the planet is in the infallible Word of God, and they preach a false gospel without repentance. A lot of them deny the blood, and a growing number are denying the preacher of rapture, which leads us to say, look up. Because Paul said that would be what it's like right before the rapture. So it makes you get a guy turn like on a dime. I go from being angry to being excited. Amen. Yeah, Johnny?
I was just going to mention an interesting observation I figured out is trying to justify their sin all the time is because if you're able to do that, then in your own eyes you're sinless. So it's a false sinlessness.
In a way, yeah.
Or a
mainly it's to get out of responsibility.
Yeah.
That's the main objective.
So they can come up with a...
Which is also what's behind this thing with the lake of fire. Is if you don't believe there is any real eternal punishment, then there's really no responsibility for sin in any real sense. It's all to avoid the responsibility for sin.
So it's like the devil, you're going back to your own God's small
deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you got these guys like Carl Lentz and Joel Osteen, all these guys. They go on Oprah Winfrey. They go on Oprah Winfrey and can hang with her. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Oprah Winfrey is a Christ-rejecting New Ager. She says Jesus is not the only way to heaven. She rejects any idea of hell for anybody, probably except for Republicans. And these guys go on her show and hang with her and talk about as though they believe in the same Jesus she does. If they believe the same Jesus that Oprah believes in, they're going to hell. Their Jesus doesn't save. And man, we could go on with that, couldn't we? Just amazing. The good thing is that we could go home any moment.